Whether it's commuters who are sick of rising gas prices, hipsters moving into urban areas, or maybe empty nester baby boomers seeking fitness, the bicycle is growing in popularity. Cycling tripled nationwide from 1990 to 2009, and that growing popularity is reflected here in Michigan. But it's not just riding for fun or fitness. Cycling can impact the way our communities look, and it can impact policy and infrastructure at the state and local level. Joining me is John Lindenmeyer. He's the Advocacy and Policy Director for the League of Michigan Bicyclists. John, give me a sense, if you will, of how you've seen cycling grow. Are we following that national growth trend?
I think we're at least on pace with it. I definitely agree with the remarks in the intro. It's on the rise, and there's a whole diverse bicycle culture that's emerging. So people are riding for a lot of different reasons. Obviously, health, you know, with everything that's going on with obesity in Michigan, you know, people are really starting to get out there and choose cycling as a means to get around and getting some exercise on their way to getting to where they need to go. Concerns over the environment, you know, it's obviously a sustainable form of transportation. And, you know, everybody's been frustrated with the gas prices. So I think, you know, definitely as the nice weather hits there, more and more people are jumping on the bike, pumping up those tires to get around.
What does this really mean to a state that really has a tradition of being the epicenter of the auto industry?
Well, you know, when you look at Michigan and our legacy, we have a, you know, a long, you know, standing of manufacturing, engineering, product development. It only makes sense that Michigan is seeing a surge in the bike-related production side of things, too. We have, you know, at least 35 bicycle-related industries that we're aware of that have popped up, and it seems like every week another one is coming up on our radar. So we have a lot of talented folks in Michigan. We've always manufactured things here, whether it's automobiles or advanced battery technology or bicycles. So, you know, you couple that with a couple hundred independent bicycle retailers across the state, and there's a lot of folks who are paying their rent around the bicycle. So I think on the industry side of things, there's definitely an emerging niche market that's coming about here in Michigan.
So there's certainly an economic payoff. As we're seeing more people clearly tracking that national growth in cycling, so we're seeing more people on Michigan cities and roads on bicycles. How are these cities and how are the roads changing to accommodate the cyclists?
Well, I think more and more communities are competing against each other these days, doing anything they can do to attract talent and jobs. And more young folks are actually choosing not to own cars. And even the number of young folks getting driver's licenses is on the decline. So, you know, young people are now deciding where they want to live and then seeking employment. So this idea of sense of place is really important. And making sure that our communities are walkable and bikeable is a big part of what our youth are looking for. You know, redesigning our communities to, you know, make sure that it's people-focused and not just auto-centric, it really could help reverse this brain drain that tends to be happening in Michigan.
Actually, we had a big, long conversation about placemaking on the show, so that's really all part of this.
Absolutely. You know, the American dream designed around the automobile has changed, or at least is fading a bit. You know, the freedom that once came with the automobile of separating where we work and live and play is now actually a burden on a lot of families. You know, people don't want to spend so much time in their cars. These hour-long commutes each way, it's crazy. And it's expensive, too. People don't want to spend so much of their income on getting around.
Oh, time and income.
That's right, time and income, absolutely. And bicycling is a cheap alternative. You know, you look at bicycling, at the other hand, a lot of our trips, about 50% of our trips, are 3 miles or less. And those are extremely bikeable. But we need to make sure that people feel comfortable and safe doing that. And that's, you know, where the infrastructure comes in. That's also where the encouragement and the education and enforcement come in. If people don't feel safe, they're going to grab those car keys even for those short trips. So that's where we're seeing Michigan really step up and become a leader in complete streets on the engineering infrastructure side of things.
And what is a complete street?
Complete streets is a planning process that is focused on moving people, not just cars. So the idea is that people should be able to get around however they choose, whether it be on foot or bike, taking transit, if they're in a wheelchair, or obviously, of course, the automobile is a big part of that as well. But they should have a safe, convenient route to get to where they need to go. So what's happening is communities are looking at how they can redesign the streets to accommodate all these different uses. And so part of that, we're seeing more bike lanes get put in, improved sidewalks and crosswalks, things of that nature.
And why should the state and why should local communities be investing the money and the resources it takes to make themselves more bike friendly? What's their payoff?
Well, you know, a little bit about what we talked about, placemaking, again, attracting that talent. But again, a lot of this is not expensive. So I just like to take a step backwards and remind folks, you know, bicycling can be a cheap date. You know, a lot of this is paint on the ground. And, you know, with population decreases in a lot of places in Michigan, we have a lot of unique opportunities to reinvent our communities. Michigan actually leads the nation in completing what are called road diets, where you actually can reduce the number of auto travel lanes on, you know, we have a lot of these overbuilt, underutilized roads where there's just all these lanes and not a lot of cars on them. So this is a great complete streets, you know, low-hanging fruit. You know, we can simply take a travel lane away without creating any extra congestion, often quite the opposite, and then find the real estate where you can make improvements for bike lanes and things like that. So, you know, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It's really about planning. You know, anytime you do road work, the idea is that at that time is when it is appropriate to look at how can we accommodate the bicyclists and pedestrians and transit users. If you have to go back afterwards and tear up the roads, that can be a much different story, but incorporate it into the design process.
And that's where the League of Michigan Bicyclists and you as the advocacy and policy director trying to work with communities to raise that awareness?
Absolutely. So we were very involved with at the state level a couple years back in 2010. We helped push through some policy changes. Michigan actually adopted a complete streets law. So now our Department of Transportation operates under this principle that anytime they're doing design work, that they're going to do everything in their power to make sure that, again, that they're moving people and not just cars. And local communities have followed suit. Over 80 communities now have adopted some form of complete streets, whether it be a resolution or an internal policy or an ordinance. And this is, you know, the most in the nation. So that's really exciting that we have this feather in our cap as the auto state.
And what's your vision, would you say, for cycling in Michigan looking ahead, say, over the next decade?
Well, I think continuing that upward climb in the numbers. So, you know, we have a lot more work to do in terms of making people feel comfortable in choosing bicycling as a mode of transportation. I think we're doing pretty good on the recreational side of things. You know, we're leading the nation in the number of rail trail miles there, which is a wonderful gateway. You know, people feel comfortable on the trails. And along with that, we can build bike lanes and these other facilities until we're blue in the face. But we also need to do encouragement. We need to, you know, help people realize that they can, you know, choose the bicycle as a mode of transportation. And we need to do education, too. So that's one of the big things that LMB is working on right now is working with folks like the Secretary of State to make sure that our young drivers understand that bicyclists legally are allowed to use the roadways and helping to promote share the road principles.
And are you working with bicyclists as well? Because I'll tell you, we have a lot of cyclists enjoying the roads around where I live in Oakland County. And I have to say, I personally observed behavior by cyclists that is dangerous and, dare I say, almost arrogant. And are you working to educate the cyclists as well?
Absolutely. And we always like to remind folks that, you know, just like there's bad bicyclists out there, there's bad drivers out there. You know, our message is, you know, same road, same rules. You got to follow the rules. If there's a stop sign, stoplight, you have to stop at it as a bicyclist. And we've worked with police agencies all across the state. We've distributed over 300,000 copies of our What Every Michigan Bicyclist Must Know booklet over the last number of years. So we do everything we can to make sure that, you know, we're leading by example. But, yeah, don't judge everybody by that one cyclist that blew the red light.
Very true. John Lindenmayer is the Advocacy and Policy Director for the League of Michigan Bicyclists. He was kind enough to join us from Lansing. Thank you for talking with us today on the program, John.
Thank you again. Appreciate the opportunity.